The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect that of the staff and management of Good Karma Brands, but are the sole responsibility of the host and guests of this particular show.
America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country. Until a nation comes to terms with our problems.
Bringing you social and political commentary from his mouth to your ears. Breaking down the issues which matter to you.
You are not put here to be a white man's footstool. You are put here to represent the very best in God's word.
Legendary civil rights icon, the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the studio. Reverend Jackson, how are you?
Mr. Reverend, good morning on this chilly Milwaukee morning.
And I am pleased to have one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party, Chairman Bobby Seale. Mr. Chairman, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
From Mr. Eric Holder. Mr. Holder, so good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, man. How you been? It's been a long time. Haven't seen you for a while.
The Dr. Cornel West. Dr. West, how are you, sir?
My dear brother, you're so kind, you're so generous, so man, but I salute you and the work that you were doing there. Doing a magnificent job there in Wisconsin.
Stream live on 1017thetruth.com. Call in with your questions or comments. 833-212-1017. Join us on social media at 1017thetruth. It may not be what you expect to hear, but I will definitely give you what you need to know. Are you ready for the truth?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Sherwin Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday, May 6, 2024. Let me begin my program by congratulating my esteemed colleagues here at 1017 The Truth on an absolutely wonderful award-winning weekend as The Truth cleaned up at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards like we normally do. Shout out to my colleague, Tori Lowe. Oh, look at that. The crowd is going wild. Tori Lowe is probably, no, I don't even think it's probably, the most decorated black broadcaster in the history of black people. Like, he just, it ain't nothing to him. My little pick, my first producer, Carrie Noni, she won an award as well for her social media content. And look at all the crowd goes nuts for Carrie. And Benjamin for his radio production and our promotion of our YouTube channel. So shout out to all my colleagues. Sherwin got nothing. Literally nothing. Yeah, that's not even a nomination. But I have won Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards in the past, and I never really understood the criteria. Because the show that I won for in 2018 was not my best. In fact, I didn't want it nominated. But I got a plaque, so that's fine. The other thing is I realized, because I used to get bent out of shape about it because I know how hard I work and I know the information that I strive to deliver and I know how you guys respond to the information and the things that we talk about. And then I used to get all bent out of shape and get all mad that I wasn't being awarded for that. And now when I think about it, because I'm further along in my radio broadcasting career and I have a better understanding of how these things work, if given the option, because you don't always get both, an engaged and active, large and robust listening audience on one hand, or awards on the other, I'll take the audience every single time. What we discuss moves mountains. It changes minds. And I think that one day at a time, one segment at a time, we are working here to change the world. And so for me, my biggest award or reward, it's you guys. I get to talk to y'all every day. I have a crowd here at the Third Street Market Hall. They're heavily caffeinated. So that's the way I see it. But congratulations to my esteemed colleagues on their monumental accomplishments. And we're just going to keep going, guys. We're going to keep getting better and keep delivering for you guys because the reason why we do this is for you all. Hopefully it's insightful. It's educational. every now and again, it may be entertaining. And that's the whole point of why we do what we do. So, all right. It was a very busy weekend in the city of Milwaukee. So it depends on your perspective and where you were and what you were doing in the city of Milwaukee. You had either a wonderful time enjoying some beautiful weather, or you were dismayed by the violence that was all over, spread throughout the city. I sound like a broken record, as do most commentators and pundits, talk show hosts, news reporters on the television. As the weather gets warmer, we see upticks in violence. And it happens every single year, and we know it's happening. We know it's coming. We brace ourselves for it. It gets so bad in some of the hottest days of the summer that it stops people from going outside. It dictates people's activities. They may not go to the lakefront anymore. They may not go to certain places in certain neighborhoods. They may not go downtown anymore, because all it takes is a single violent incident, and then people will begin to shy away. And in worst case scenario, people move away from the city of Milwaukee, and a lot of times they take their spending power with them. They take the tax base with them, and they go somewhere else, further exacerbating. Part of the problem is the poverty in the city, but there's also something that's created, a kind of social depravity that gets created from a culture of poverty. There are people that just feel they're so disconnected. They're disconnected from business. They're disconnected from opportunity. They're disconnected from hope. They're disconnected from a future. We want to provide them with all of the tools that they need so they can seize every opportunity to live their best life and to be professionals and to be either employees or employers. But there's a major, major disconnect. We have talked extensively about the role that education plays, because we all know, those of us that have been able to achieve some semblance of success, or when I say success, you set a goal and you achieved it. It doesn't even have to be financial. It doesn't even have to be professional. You set a personal goal and you achieved it. That's my definition of success. And for those of you that have done that, and there's many of you that have, you attribute your education in some part to you being able to set a personal or professional or even a financial goal and being able to achieve it. And so that is why we are so laser focused on making sure that we have the best quality education so that more people can set goals and achieve them, whatever those goals may be. The Milwaukee public school system leaves a lot to be desired. I'm not just going to hammer on the school system to blame them for a crime. But when they say there is a school to prison pipeline, I absolutely believe that. That we are focused on disciplining children to prepare them for a lifetime of being disciplined. I don't know where our focus is when it comes to rectifying the problem. And then that's when we splinter and go in a million different directions, because, well, it's the parents. It's the destruction of the family. Then somebody's going to say, oh, they need to put God in the church and the Bible back in schools. That's why we can't figure out a solution. Everybody goes in a million different directions in trying to figure out what a solution is to these upticks in violence that we see during the warm summer months. Milwaukee was an experiment, an upper Midwestern city that was never really known for its diversity prior to the founding of this territory as a state. And then you introduce diversity, i.e. black people, in several waves. Two large ones, one after World War II, which kind of turned into a second one, another one that happened during and just after the Vietnam War, because there was all this factory and industrial employment here in Milwaukee. In fact, we were known for, you could come up here from anywhere and get a good job with very little education. You know, boys could have dropped out of high school at 16, come to Milwaukee and get a job. You can support a family. Well, when those jobs left, not very much replaced them. And the education system that used to be very robust when it was educating one particular culture of students, as the demographics of the Milwaukee public school system changed, they either put their focus on discipline, or they did not transition adequately for training young people for the jobs of the future. Now, we could do a deep dive on that, but I'm not doing it today. But either way, there's a major, major disconnect. And if you follow that path, it leads to this lack of hope, lack of opportunity, lack of empathy for people, which I think partly is responsible for these upticks in crime. Let's talk to Jeanette. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm a Milwaukee public school teacher. I work at two different schools, and I feel I have a lot of things to say about what you were talking about with the school-to-prison pipeline. I think the problem is that schools are so focused on testing, they don't teach kids moral value. So,
what schools do you work at? Can you tell us that, Jeanette? I'm very curious.
I would love to tell you this, and I don't know who knows if anyone's listening, but so I'm an English as a second language teacher, and I work at Milwaukee Academy of Chinese Language with a refugee population there. And then I work at, they're from Africa, Afghanistan, Myanmar, Rohingya, Karen, Hmong, and then some students from Latin America are also coming there. And I also work at Lincoln Center of the Arts, which is something I really wanted to talk to you guys about. It's a middle school. And there I work with students, the bilingual department. Those students are from South America, Puerto Rico, and Mexico.
Okay.
So the climate at both schools, there's a lot of behavior management issues. There's a lot of students that have major anger issues. However, I don't feel like students are taught how to take care of each other or take care of themselves.
But you're a teacher, so if you can tell us what students are not taught, isn't some of that incumbent on you as a teacher to teach them what you see they're not taught? And if they're not taught certain things, you see the negative outcome. So do you have a role in teaching them what needs to be taught?
I absolutely do go out of my way to teach students empathy and teach them right from wrong when I have the opportunity.
Uh-huh.
I've been a teacher in Milwaukee Public Schools for 18 years, and as a teacher, so I was a classroom teacher for 10 years, and now I'm a specialist, which means I support teachers in their classroom. So
you don't have your own classrooms anymore. You just support teachers.
Correct.
Okay.
Which I like because I have more impact, I feel.
But more also, impact being out of the classroom than in. That's
because
interesting.
I have more students. Like I touch the lives of more students.
Okay.
That's what I mean. And I also get to work with different teachers and give them, you know, tell them my ideas and share ideas with different ways of teaching in the classroom. But that also, I also am hindered in that way, you know.
Do you see how the public scratches its head because we had a referendum in 2020 of $80 million, which passed with flying colors. And then there was another referendum. It also passed, but by a much narrower margin, allocating another $252 million to apparently whatever the district needs. And so what you see and what you experience and the children not necessarily getting what they need socially and then asking for all this money from the taxpayers and the district receiving it and then not improving the outcomes. Do you see how people can be frustrated with that? Because where's the money going?
Why I'm calling you right now, I've been listening for about a month now. My Lyft driver recommended I listen to you guys, and I'm really happy I found you. But I am completely convinced that the public's voice is very strong. However, people don't realize how strong it is. And so I need the listeners to go and ask the district what they're doing.
Well, the last school board meeting we attended, one of the items on the agenda was to censure one of the board members who has been the most honest and forthcoming with the African-American community, who probably has the most questions and the most issues with the MPS school district. So I don't know if you know the influence and the power of the teachers union on that school board, and therefore the power of the teachers union on the superintendent. But it seems like what the community wants and needs and expects out of its school district falls on deaf ears, because MTEA controlling the vast majority, if not every member in one form or fashion of that union, goes counter and contrary to the parents that send their kids to MPS. Here's another problem that we have. A lot of teachers, I'm not going to speak for you, if you want to tell us, you most certainly can, they don't send their kids to the schools in which they teach. And you know this as well as I do. Teachers and other public school advocates, they hate the voucher program. They hate school choice. To some extent, they hate charter schools, especially if those charter schools are outperforming traditional public schools. But a lot of those teachers, your colleagues, teachers, administrators, specialists, principals, parents, send their kids to private schools because they don't want to send their children to the places in which they work and make their living. Do you have children?
I don't. My children go to Maryland Avenue Montessori School, which is a public school.
Oh, that's good. Where are you going to send them to high school is the real question. Because there's some good elementary schools and middle schools, but it's the high school. That's when the teachers and the administrators and everybody else, they send their kids to private school.
No, and I have a son, and he's a seventh grader, and I'm actually right in that decision-making process, actually, yeah.
Okay. Is private school a consideration?
I live a block away from Riverside. And I'm so sad that I am so hesitant to send him there.
So, and Riverside used to be a premier, like, university-style type of high school, but it's not anymore. So imagine this for a moment, Jeanette. There are parents that do not have any choice. They have to send their children to whatever the neighborhood public school is. But we also think it's completely unfair that other folks get to make such a choice. And so we want to give those parents who have no choice a choice. Politically, the left and the teachers union and the public school faithful rail against that. So that is one of the problems that we have as a public. And so we could communicate that to our school board members, and they're not going to change their position. They're not going to be much more open to charter schools and allowing more parental choice schools, because they have parental choice because of their income. They send their kids to private schools without hesitation. But let's be focused on the parents that don't have that choice. But Jeanette, I gotta go. I gotta take a commercial break. But I appreciate you calling, and thank you to the Lyft driver that recommended us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening, and I will call back some other time. And because I have lots to talk about this, and I'm looking for your support, honestly.
All right, Jeanette.
I'm a white woman, and I am looking for support for the black and the minority children here in Milwaukee who do have to go to the public school, and because they deserve the best.
All right, Jeanette. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Shouldn't Jeanette be at school right now? Shouldn't she be at work? It sounded like she was just riding around in a car. Okay. Well, that was interesting. Let's take a break, come back, and go in a direction, I suppose. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Jeanette says she needs help supporting the black and the brown and the minority kids. There was something about that. And I appreciate her calling. I think we just need more black teachers. I would have, no offense, Jeanette, but I would have rather a black woman or man teacher call in and say, hey, community, help me help these children, because there's more established credibility there. And I like the whites. It's just you don't know which ones have good intentions or not. I should have asked about suspension rates. But the school she taught at, one was one on the Chinese school, but she said, oh, there's people there from Rohingya. And there was a whole bunch of countries in Nepal and Bangladesh. And okay, those aren't our kids, though. Right? Like, those are other people's children. Let's talk to Hamis. I hope I'm saying that right. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you? Hello? Guess not. Thought we were going to have a follow-up to Jeanette. Now I'm going to be stuck on who do we want to help, though? Isn't our concern the children? Or do we need to help the teachers help the children? I do not agree that just having communication with our board members is going to result in any fundamental change, because the teachers union has a very specific political agenda for that board. And education should not be politicized, because when things get politicized, that's where they go to die. When politics enters how we teach and how we train the next generation of leaders, that's when their bigotry and their racism infiltrates the curriculum, because you got some people that legitimately think that your kids are being indoctrinated. There's a public school teacher friend of mine that posted on Facebook because she's tired of hearing it. You're indoctrinating the kids. You're just trying to get the kids to be all woke and indoctrinate them and brainwash them. See, that's what it is. And she said on social media, I'll never forget it, she said, if I could indoctrinate your kids, I'd tell them to wear deodorant. Damn. I think it's just when children are exposed to information that may go counter to what the parents know or what the parents were taught, and there's some conflict because the information that's available now that young people need to know at the age of 10, some of us didn't know until we were 30. And it can be a direct conflict based upon what parents teach at home, what parents were taught when they were in school. And so when your children come up with these ideas, and when your children who are now going to school with LGBTQ people, back in my day, they didn't have a gay student union. It was gay people. The girls that were lesbians, and I went to school with many lesbians. Now that I look back on it, oh, there were many lesbians, but they were just, we called them tomboys. They played football with us, and they tackled harder than a lot of the boys did. And so we want young people to, because that's what the real world is going to be like. The real world is not just diverse when it comes to race and culture and national origin. There's sexual orientation stuff, too. And so if young people, age appropriate, of course, are being exposed to, hey, there are people that may have a different orientation than you. They may dress differently than a boy or a girl dresses. I want young people to be familiar with that, so they when they get out into the real world, they're not a bunch of bigots. Let's try Hamis again. Are you there? Am I saying your name right?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, well, yeah, I just wanted to comment on the school to prison pipeline. You know, okay, from my observation and growing up going through the school system, you know, the school system was designed to move us from institution to institution, whether it's an educational institution or a correctional institution. You know, because if you pay attention and look at schools, prisons, and factories, they all look alike. And you spend 8 hours a day, 40 days a week in school, you know, and right now, you had expectation removed out of the school system.
because you pass the kids are passed on whether they fail or not.
Did you go to what MPS schools did you go to?
Huh?
What MPS school or schools did you attend?
Oh, I'm not from Milwaukee. Oh. I'm from Racine.
Oh, even worse. Yeah, a better example. Okay.
Yeah, so now when it comes down to the Milwaukee to their school system, period, like I say, they all operate under the same premise, institution to institution. Because growing up, no teacher ever praises the regular hard work that's available to you after you graduate high school. And school, and so therefore, by the time most people graduate high school, a lot of people are confused about whether or not they want to go to the workforce or go to school. Because right now, there's some 25-year-old sitting on somebody's couch that's giving them an excuse why they're not working a job, talking about they're going to go to school. So school is the option out of work to some people mentally. But then after you graduate from school, if you go to college, you got to do the four-letter cuss word, work. And that's one of the biggest things that has been removed from our community. We don't teach young men how to go out here and work. A lot of the young women, they get it. They, at 16, they got jobs trying to get up out of their mother's
but
home.
But, Hamis, aren't a lot of but the women raising a lot of these young men? And if you say that the women get it, they understand the necessity of work. Where's the disconnect?
And they're raising young men like women.
Uh-oh.
So that's the thing that that's the point that I was getting to.
But you said that the because women understand work, men. Though.
Okay, let me explain this to you.
You got to do it quickly because I got to take a break.
That are working, paying the bills, but when they come home and complain to their sons about working in a factory or doing construction work, and they say this is back-busting work and you shouldn't be doing this, and you're going to go to college and be somebody boss, they got to ask backwards. Because most of the white guys I went to school with, they went to the workforce when they graduated. They started doing roofing, laying cement, construction work, carpentry work. And a lot of those guys are well off. A lot of the black guys, a lot of us, some of us had street dreams, hoop dreams, and just screwed up dreams. And so that therefore a lot of us got sidetracked because the education system does not praise the hardworking man.
All right, we got to leave it there.
Community.
Now, I appreciate your call. That makes a lot of sense to me. Everybody says they need to go into the trades. That's what the black people need to do. Go up there on the roof and take some nails and a hammer and just be on the roof and just hit the roof with a nail and hammer. The truth was sure when he was a be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This conversation started with a bunch of bad headlines that I saw this morning. A police shooting near 107th and Good Hope leaves one person dead. Officer hurt, three in custody after shooting in Milwaukee. There was a man killed Friday, on 56th and North Avenue. And I have high hopes for that neighborhood, the Washington Heights area. That's an up and coming neighborhood. Guy was killed over there. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And so I try to go upstream to figure out what we can do to prevent these things from happening again. And whatever we have been doing, it has not been working. Or maybe I just need to resign to the fact that in a big city, well, somewhat big city, Milwaukee, not really a big city, there's just going to be incidents of violence. Hopefully we can do something or figure something out where we can make it few and far between, where there's not nearly as much as we see, especially when it's predictable in the warm weather months. And so, of course, I go to the education system. And whenever I talk about education, whenever I talk about MPS, it always falls on the trades. That's just what if kids just don't want to do that? You know how difficult it is, and a lot of you can attest to this, to do a job you don't like, you don't love, you're not passionate about just for money? Sometimes the money isn't worth it. I don't even know what kids want to do. Podcasts, I guess. You can be a professional video gamer. You'd get a college scholarship playing video games. But I think parents and adults see where opportunity is, or parents and adults wish that they would have went to school for this X, Y, and Z. But the time in which you wish you would have gone to school for the trades have even have changed. Hamid said something very profound. They keep promoting the kids, right? They don't have the necessary math and reading skills. And so when we see they do these report cards on the school districts and the different schools, and they'll give us a percentage of the children that are reading on grade level, what their reading comprehension skills are compared to grade level, and then their math skills, right? And they do promote the kids, because holding a kid back, I don't know, messes them up or something, and they get teased. I don't know why they don't hold kids back. But you got to think about that. If a child has not mastered reading, reading comprehension, and math in fourth grade, okay, so they're not on grade level in fourth grade, and you promote them to fifth grade, there should be an increase in the pedagogy and in the curriculum, reading, reading comprehension, and math, as the child gets older chronologically. What is taught to them should be a little more complicated, but based off of them knowing the previous year's instruction. And so when they come out of school, there's no telling how far behind they are. The trades don't want those people. Do you know how heavy on reading and math and algebra all of the trades are? So if you're an electrician and you don't know math, if you don't know the difference between an amp and a volt, you're going to cook. A carpenter that does not know measurements down to the 10th or 100th of a millimeter will build a house that will collapse. So I know it's easy, and I don't know why we downplay how easy it must be to get into the trades. I don't think I know enough math to get into the trades. And you got to use tools. It's the last time I used a protractor and a T-square. I don't even know what to do with it. I give a protractor to some of y'all. You know what y'all would do with it? You use it to chop cocaine. Let's talk to Lisa. You're on 101.7 The Truth.
Good morning, Sherwin. How are you, my love?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Lisa. How are you?
I am great. I'm happy my best friend finally found her house, and she's closing on June 4th. So, Florida, here I come. Okay, but anyway. As far as these teachers, look, teachers, you got to think. Don't be down and disappointed because, you know, you don't have a job. You create one. These kids need education. Sometimes you got to give in order to receive. Open up that garage door. Put some flyers out there. I teach English. I teach math, algebra, whatever. I teach science, whatever it may be. I would gladly say, hey, if my child needs some more tutoring or some more English classes, I don't mind paying that teacher, what, $10, $15, $25 for that hour. You got it, guys. You got to make jobs of your own. Go online. Get an online school. It's not difficult.
Yeah, it is. So you're saying teachers need to offer tutoring. Is that what you're suggesting?
Teachers need to make it. It's going to be the future anyway. Kids are going to be at home, teachers are going to be online. It's the future, so you might as well start it.
The parents that have the money to pay a tutor for their children, because some parents see that their children are not doing well in the subject very early on, and they get a tutor right away. They'll hire private tutors. What do we do for people that cannot afford to get their children additional help, that can't afford to pay a tutor?
Well, you know what? Those teachers that are not working, like I said, you give freely, you receive.
Lisa, so, like, what I teachers said, aren't working? There's a teacher shortage. We can't find teachers. We got to recruit teachers from other countries.
Okay. And, you know, these teachers, like my child, I took her in Minnesota. I took her out of school. I put her online schooling. I didn't have to pay for anything. The government paid for a lot of stuff. Believe it or not, they get more money when they online than they do at school. And it's crazy because, you know, you don't have to pay, you know, you do pay the teachers and everything. And you know what? I enjoyed it. She learned. When she was in school, she couldn't even tell the time, you know, the hands on the clock. Who does that? They didn't know the month of the year.
Damn.
Who does that? I told him, I said, wait a minute. That's elementary stuff. I said, and
how old was this child that didn't know how to read a clock?
She was a teenager. She was like 14, 15. And I thought it myself.
Hold on,
I said,
Lisa. First of all, you don't have any children, Lisa.
I raised two nieces from birth. Okay, I kidnapped one. I told my brother,
I believe you kidnapped a child. Yeah, I believe that. But yeah, isn't some of that incumbent on the parents, though? Like, don't parents need to teach kids how to tell time?
Yes. Yes.
Unless the parents can't tell time. That's why black folks is late all the time. Maybe we don't know how to read a clock.
No, because, see, I worked. I worked and I worked. I had a nice big house, all that stuff. Those are things that I wanted. I put, you know, I was like, as long as I made sure they're going to school, they're looking good, they're not missing school and anything like that, it, you know, I was believing that in a suburban school, they were being taught properly.
I had a suburban school, of course. Lisa, what was your highest level of education completed? I'm curious.
I have a bachelor's degree, and I'm going to go. Look, people, no matter what age you are.
A bachelor's degree in what? And you just got it. In business.
In business. So, in business and entertainment. Because the thing is, we was in Paisley Park, and we were talking, and Prince asked me why I didn't get into the music business. And I told Prince, look, I don't want to cut nobody because if I got a $10 million contract and somebody paid me $999.99, I want to know where my penny at. If you steal a penny, you're going to steal 5 cents. If you steal 5 cents, you're going to steal 10 cents and so forth and so forth. And he just looked at me and, you know, I kept talking about things or whatever. And he just like, you know, you should, I would like to talk to you about managing Paisley Park.
No like, way. No, he did not. Prince
what?
Rogers Nelson
did
not offer for you to manage Paisley Park.
Yes, he did. And I was like,
then why didn't you do it?
Because the first thing came to my mind was contracts, and I didn't know anything about international contracts. So that's why I went back to school like an idiot and wasted $56,000 on something I already freaking knew because I learned that out with people. And being in business and understanding business, I wasted $56,000 on college education.
You did not waste that money, Lisa. Money you invest in yourself for the betterment of your education is never a waste. Can we kind of wrap this up? Because I got to take a break. I don't even have a direction for my show yet. I try to talk about something. Y'all just hijacked my show. And it started with the lady that called in as a teacher. Wrap it up, Lisa. So what's the bottom line here? Don't go to school. Go to school. Manage Paisley Park. Don't manage Paisley Park. What's the bottom line?
Look, college is a great, it's great. University, it's great.
What college did you even go to? You probably went to Kaplan or something.
You know, no, I did not. College is not for everyone.
What college did you go to? That's where we're going to end it. What college did you go to?
I went to Full Sail University.
What the hell is Full Sail? Good God Almighty, Lord have mercy.
It's a business entertainment school.
Is it still open or did it close like the Trump school?
Yes, it's still open. Oh. No, it's still open. Look, if you go, you can go on campus. It's a humongous campus, or you can go online. And me, I don't like to be in class with people because they talk too much and they play too much.
Oh, they talk too much, huh? What's that like? Well, look, graduate of Full Sail University. I got to Full Sail my way into a commercial break. So I got to go.
Okay, look it up. I love you, Sherwin. See you tomorrow. And bye-bye.
So what kind of weekend did y'all have? She's on that stuff. That's what her problem is. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Brian says a lot. Brian, I actually agree with you for once. Write it down and mark the date because I don't ever agree with anything Brian says. If you all don't know, if you're a newer listener to this program, Brian is our resident flat earther. Thinks the earth is flat. What's interesting about flat earthers is they have their perspective, but then you have 100% of the scientific community. I mean, literally all of the scientists. It doesn't even matter what field of science. So 100% of the scientists all agree, yeah, the Earth is round. And the flat earthers are the only ones that disagree with 100% of the scientific community. So it is what it is. But Brian says, I just had the comment you made. Here we go. Parents have no empathy, self-control, or personal respect. So quite naturally, neither do their school-age children. So Brian, not all parents, but as opposed to a teacher being responsible for teaching those kind of like emotional traits, that's very, very hard for a teacher to do. Parents do, at the very least, they have to instill empathy and having respect for others and, you know what I mean, not being a bully and not bothering other students. Like, that stuff does begin with home. And also, a lot of parents, I'm starting to see this as I get older. Some people were raised by emotionally distant parents. So when a child is sad or going through an emotion, because children don't necessarily have the vocabulary to communicate how they're feeling, and children will deal with all sorts of emotions and it can be very overwhelming for them. If that child is raised by a parent that also doesn't know how to deal with and interpret emotions, then what happens is that child grows up to be devoid of empathy, because when they were having emotional problems or responses to things in their environment, their parents either told them, shut up, that's not that big of a deal, don't cry about that, you're acting like a baby. That makes screwed up adults. And so if your emotions were not respected, and if your parents did not talk to you about the range of emotions that you will feel as a child, if you felt like you could not, you couldn't cry or you couldn't express sadness to your parents, and a lot of folks grew up like that, they end up having kids that are also the exact same way. And another thing about those folks that grew up with emotionally distant parents is they make horrible partners. They really, really do. You got to watch out for those folks. And usually they're very nice in the beginning until there's a conflict where, let's say, you're upset and you want to talk to your partner about something because you're bothered, you're disturbed, you got very angry, or maybe you got very sad, or you got emotional about something. If your partner does not know how to deal with that and allow you to communicate your emotions, your relationship is over. Whether you want to end it right there or end it at some point in the future, because if there's an adult that does not know how to interpret and feel and understand the emotions of themselves and other people, they need like 10 years of therapy. So if they haven't had that decade's worth of therapy, then that's no good. And just think about the children that they're going to raise. So to some extent, Brian, I do agree with you. If parents don't know and do not understand being empathetic, their children may not know it either. And what's even worse is that some children, some people are naturally empathetic. They're born that way. They're born very altruistic and caring about other people. But if a parent doesn't recognize that in their child, they've got a natural empath and they try and extinguish their child's empathy, then that's a whole nother set of situations too. Hanif says, if our community can't build it, it will never exist. We are still dreaming. We don't own infrastructure to provide the jobs. It starts with the basic jobs and business. So interesting that you bring that up, Hanif. The things that Black people need to ultimately be successful, we have to get from people who don't want to give it to us. We make it seem like all of the things that are missing, all of the voids in the Black community, are completely and 100% our fault. It's not. Please know and understand that there are political forces and social forces that are diametrically opposed to African Americans making progress. I thought we talked about that stuff on Friday. One of the ways in which we can achieve some semblance of progress is voting. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back and talk about how Black people are not going to vote in the 2024 November election. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.